What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan and the Fool, everyone. I'm the Fan, Matt Nicinelli.
I'm the Fool, Alex Cameron.
Happy New Year.
Whoa-ho. This is our last one for 2021. What a great year it's been for everyone globally, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Everyone globally?
Big runner on that, you know.
Where's the doc when you need him?
The doc.
The doc. Or Doctor Who.
Does anyone call him the doc?
Yes, that does happen. I don't think he likes that.
Actually, didn't Ian say that once? And he's like... It's the doctor.
Yes.
Wasn't it in the one where they meet Vicky for the first time?
Oh, yeah, it could be that one. Yes, yes. So, because it's our last one of the year, we've deviated from regular Doctor Who.
Yes.
And so, soon after we do our segments, we will look at Doctor Who and the Daleks, the theatrical movie.
Yes.
In Technicolor. Ooh. let's do our segments first.
Is it Doctor Who?
Who? All right. So, describe.
It's a yellow Dalek. It's like a.
Look, you just went straight to. It's definitely a Doctor Who thing.
It's a Doctor Who thing. It's a yellow Dalek. It's got the plunger. I don't know if that's what it's meant to be called.
Yeah, weapon, sucker, plunger.
A little eye thing. It's got wheels. That lovely sound you can hear, is it moving?
That sound is irritating, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's a yellow Dalek. I don't know if we've seen a yellow Dalek. I don't even know if there was one in the movie with Technicolor.
No, I don't think there was.
So
but
why is
it is
yellow?
A Doctor Who thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I picked it. I know it's quite obviously a Doctor Who thing, because this is from the main... the regular TV show in the future.
Ooh.
So the Daleks get a bit of a redesign in 2011, I want to say.
Oh, so only about 50 years in the future from where
yes. they get redesigns every now and then, but this is probably the most drastic redesign.
Okay.
And the Mark Gatiss, who wrote the episode where this thing comes up,
yep.
Who also, he's an actor and he writes lots of things. He based the design on the technicolored Daleks that we just saw.
Really?
Yeah.
From a movie from 50 years before?
Yeah. Well, at that point, what's that? 40 years before. However,
yeah,
everyone hated it.
What's so different about them? Is it just the color? Or is it a little bit of rim around the middle part?
Well, they're larger. And they've got a bit more of a thing along the back.
Right.
But they're also, in the episode, they're much taller. So you can see in these ones that we've just seen, and for most of them, a person is taller than the Dalek normally.
Right.
Whereas this is about just over 6 feet tall.
Right, okay.
So it's a bit more imposing, I guess, was the idea.
But people didn't like it.
Yeah, because people don't... Doctor Who fans.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just don't like change, you know?
Okay.
So enough people yelled that they kind of changed back.
Oh, sorry. Did they address that in the show and go, oh, we've gone back to our old model?
Yeah, so these ones still existed.
Okay.
But they basically made the larger ones, like, the important commanders.
Right.
So the ones you actually see 95% of the time have become the old design.
And that's how they got away with it.
Yeah. This is called... The Eternal.
Oh, they've got names.
They've got names.
Wow.
So there's four other kinds, and I won't... Because it's four other colours from this.
Right.
When they were redesigned. And I won't tell you the four others because you might want to...
Wait and see.
You might want to wait and see. You might want to wait till we get to 2012 or whatever it is.
And then I'll remember this one episode and go, oh yeah, I remember.
Might be 2010. I think it was 2010 or 2011. It's a Matt Smith episode.
All right, so it's a little while. The one that you love when I call them the hip young millennial one.
I don't think that's a correct description. I think when you see how he behaves, he's not really a hip young millennial. He's just kind of weird.
I believe you, but the only reason I keep saying it is because it visibly annoys you and I find that fun.
Okay, you ready?
For the next segment.
The next segment.
Go.
Matthew's brief... And spoiler-free review of...
Current episode.
radio episode.
Oh, yes, we've changed
next it. Week I'll have current episode because there's an episode coming out next week. Ooh. The New Year's special.
Okay.
But this week I've been listening to The Year of Martha Jones.
Okay.
And so you don't know who that is yet, but you will. But she's a companion, and there's a year where she, between where she like leaves the doctor, I'm trying to not spoil it for you.
Yeah.
But there's a year where she leaves the doctor and doesn't see him again for a full 12 months. And so it's about what she got up to in that 12 months.
Oh, okay.
So in the show, it's just like, hey, you've been away for 12 months. And this is like filling in all those gaps.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. I will say that her mum is super annoying in it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's kind of annoying in the show because the mother doesn't really like the doctor.
Okay.
But she is like not helping what Martha's trying to do at all. So, really cool though.
Yep.
Can recommend.
What do you give it out of a 13 doctors? Because it's a review, so you've got to give it a score.
I think, because it's not, you know how normally like there's like a bit of action in Doctor Who, like it's a bit more slow paced.
Right.
But the story is really good and you can hear like there's a lot of like emotion and stuff going on. So I think I'll give it a 9. Ooh. I think it's worth a listen, and it was $17 for like about 4.5 hours of audio story. So
right,
it's broken into 3 episodes, so 3 like 90-minute episodes.
Is this a new release?
Yes.
Ooh.
It came out last week, I think.
So they do like stories now that they're produced now, but about characters from back.
Yeah. So she's actually from 2007.
Oh, okay.
And so there's actually some behind the scenes, because they always record a behind the scenes thing.
Yep.
Like, so every time you buy one of the audio plays, there's like a special features section. And she was talking about how she had to like, Freema Angeman, who plays Martha Jones, had to like find her voice again. Cause she was like, this character I played so long ago, I have to like remember how to play them. Right. So yeah.
That's cool.
It is cool.
There you go.
Now, you ready for Doctor Who and the Daleks?
I am.
In Technicolor?
For the second time.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, I've just got to grab my notebook.
Okay. Ooh, very, very TARDIS-y.
Yeah, it was Christmas present.
Because of all the TARDIS, we saw them go to TARDIS.
Ooh.
Not the TARDIS.
I'm annoyed. Okay, so I'm just going to say from the outset, I'm going to say lots of things about this.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it.
Yes, it's a breath of fresh air after watching The Web Planet.
Yeah, okay.
I'll tell you that.
So, to me, it felt a little bit like when you, because I like reading comic books,
mm-hmm.
when they like reboot a series and someone else writes the first story. So it's got all the same elements, but it's
A fresh take.
It's like if you were reading like a Batman comic, and there'd be like him versus the Joker for the first time, but then the universe gets rebooted, and it's like, yeah, he's going to meet the Joker because that's like part of his whole thing.
Yeah.
But this time, the first time he meets him, it's like a little bit different. It's like the same, but a little bit different.
Right.
Or like it's either Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger.
Mm, yeah. A very, very equal comparison. But yes, I know exactly what you mean.
So it was interesting. And I felt like it was a bit like watching the original Daleks for whatever the 6-episode arc.
Yep.
In fast forward.
Yeah.
It was like, it just moved. It was like,
it was very quick.
Yeah. Because I guess what's 6 times 25 minutes? That's whatever. It's like 3 hours.
Yeah, basically.
And this goes for an hour and 15-ish. In fact, I kept looking at my watch when we were reaching the end. Not because I was waiting for it to finish, but because I knew how long it went, and I didn't feel like we were close to, like, a resolution. But it wraps up pretty quick.
Yeah, and I was surprised how many of the story points they got through. But the only thing that's missing from it, I feel like, is a lot of the dialogue where they, like, for example, trying to convince the Thals to be physical when they need to protect themselves instead of just being peaceful.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that, but in the TV show, you get a lot more of that interesting dialogue, whereas they just had to rush through it because they're like, okay, we have to get through the mountain, we have to have the big battle in the control room. They just had to quickly get through all of these events.
Yeah, so this was released in 1965, so it's actually a couple of years after.
Right.
So I think the Daleks came out in 63, which was the year that Doctor Who started.
Because it was one of the first story arcs.
Yeah. So this production company, I think it's Amicus. Amicus Productions and BBC TV Productions.
Okay, so the BBC had a say, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Or so, they were just like, this is our property, so we get money. Thank you.
Well, they actually... Amicus bought the cinematic rights from Terry Nation.
Oh, so it's his property.
Because I guess it's his story.
Right.
So they probably bought the cinematic rights to make his story on screen. But obviously they made some changes. Because I think they were like, the Daleks are going to be the main thing here. They removed... I think they kind of recast... reimagine a lot of the characters.
Yes.
So that you can get past a lot of the stuff that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, you know how when we watched The Unearthly Child, they spent four episodes being like, who is Susan? What's this old man doing? What's this machine? Now we're in a cave of skulls.
Yes.
And in this one, they just went, both Barbara and Susan are, they're both granddaughters of Doctor Who in this case, because his name's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And Ian is Barbara's boyfriend, who's turned up to take her on a date.
Yeah.
And then through hilarity...
much hilarity.
And, you know, misfortune? I don't know, whatever. They managed to take off and they land on the planet of Daleks, which would be... I can't tell you the name yet, I don't think, because I don't think you've learnt the name that the planet
I thought is. They told us back on in the original TV show, but I can't remember it now.
It's Skaro.
Oh, we did say that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So
I don't think they call it that in the movie, though.
I just don't think they mention it at all.
No.
It's just an unknown planet.
They just don't know where they are.
And a city. An unknown planet and a city.
Yeah.
So I think we should go through... Let's go through a few things first.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think? And then we'll go maybe character at a time.
Okay.
Because they've obviously reimagined some characters. So let's start with the big one.
Okay.
Doctor Who.
Peter
Cushing as Doctor Who.
I think they're obviously going for more of a fun comedy type of
thing. Less grumpy old man.
Less grumpy old man, more kooky old uncle.
Yeah, he's a bit eccentric.
Yeah.
And I think even the way his hair is.
Yeah.
And the way he is kind of like always looking like his eyes wide and like, ooh, like, you know, like he's very, and the way he's kind of always like, come along, Harold. Or, like, to Ian, because he's, like, forgets his name.
Yeah.
Or, like, gives the... There's a moment where he asks a woman to borrow... If he can borrow her mirror, and he swaps it with, like, a... something that he's burnt on
burnt
a fire.
Cake or something, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I didn't hate it.
No, I liked it.
It was very, very different, but it wasn't bad.
No, I quite liked his character. It's interesting, because he's clearly... Because they were living in a house, so he's clearly in this interpretation, he is human, or at least lives on Earth in a house, and his TARDIS is outside in the backyard.
Yeah. I wasn't sure, because at the beginning, Ian first comes into the house, and all the family there, Barbara, Susan, and the Doctor, and Doctor Who, I'm sorry.
One's called Doctor Who.
Mr. Who, but he's a doctor, so it's Doctor Who. They're all reading science books. And then Ian comes in, and Susan is excited to try and explain something to Ian. And the doctor says, he won't understand. He's not like you.
He wouldn't understand.
But anyone can understand science if they only put their minds to it. You can.
Well, that's different.
Oh, well, let's give Harold a chance.
Ian?
Yes, my name's Ian, Doctor Who.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure if that was he's not smart like you, like it was an insult.
He's
or
clearly not. But yes.
He's not. Or he's not an insane alien like you. He doesn't understand these principles.
Yeah. I guess it could be like, I thought when it opened, we'll get to the opening scene just before we move on to another character.
Yeah, sorry, I broke that ice.
And it's got it's got Susan's reading the book, which is like, it's some physics book.
Yeah.
And Barbara's holding a book and it says The Science of Science.
Yes.
And I was like, I wrote down, this movie starts like a movie. Like, it's just like, it's not even, it's just like all in.
There's no subtlety.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy.
You would not think from seeing that, and we'll get to her, that Barbara would be how she is for the rest of the movie if she's reading The Science of Science.
No. I'm going to save Ian till last.
Okay.
Because I got some things to say.
And not best till last, just last.
Just last. Saving last till last, all right? Yeah. What do you think? So this is Jenny Linden, who's playing Barbara.
Okay. I thought that for the five or so lines she had in the entire film, she was good.
Yeah, she was. And I think you said when we were sitting, because we watched this together.
Oh.
She does sound like she's doing a pretty good Jaclyn Hill impersonation.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Something terrible happened here. This place is dangerous. I can feel it. I wish we could leave. We worked upwards from the three R's. Reading, writing, arithmetic.
Whereas none of the other characters or actors felt like they were trying to do that.
No. She must have seen some episodes or something, because she sounded a lot like her hair was kind of similar to her, to Barbara as well.
Similar style, except very blonde, and obviously Barbara's not.
It was still a bit odd when she was like, grandfather. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess that's what we're doing.
Because Susan, I'm not going into that character, but Susan's age has obviously changed from about 15 to maybe 8.
Yeah, yeah.
And Barbara's still mid-20s.
Yeah.
But they're both the granddaughters of...
of Doctor Who.
Yeah. Which I know is possible, but it's just weird.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit weird. It's a bit like, yeah, just looking into another universe of Doctor Who.
Yeah. The Doctor Who multiverse.
So Roberta Tovey is Susan. Right. Or, as she's called very frequently, Susie.
Yes, that's true. Which never happens in the TV show.
No, I don't think so. I put initially that I found her more irritating than regular Susan.
Really?
Because at the start, she was very, like, I don't know, just, like...
dismissive?
Yeah.
Of people?
Of people. But then I could understand why she was dismissive of Ian.
Because everyone should be.
But I ended up liking her quite a lot more. I was like, oh, she's properly brave.
Yes.
She's, you know, can figure things out. She's got problem-solving skills.
She's neither screaming for no reason nor stabbing them for no reason.
I don't think she screamed, I think, once.
When she was running around in the forest.
In the forest when the hand touched her.
Yeah.
On the shoulder. Which, you know... that's pretty good for an entire 70-minute movie, just to only get one scream.
Well, Susan has hidden that within the first 3 minutes of any episode.
Yeah.
But she's the brave one who agrees to go back to the ship to get the drugs for the Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another time where they ask her, oh, and she goes and writes the letter. It's the same story as the Daleks.
Yeah.
But she's the brave one that does it all.
I didn't make me think when she was writing that letter, I was like... because I never thought... I don't think we mentioned it when we spoke about the Daleks. But they had a pen and paper.
Yes.
Did they just... do happen. They write?
Well, that, isn't that why she's there? Because they can't? Oh, no, they want it to seem like she's... no, no, it's from them. They're saying... the Daleks are saying, hey, come and get some food.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's signed by her.
Wasn't Susan, it, your friend Susan.
Wasn't it Barbara who did it in the TV show?
No, I think it was Susan. I remember very clearly because at the bottom of the note she signed her name and it just was like, Susan. I remember it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I liked her. I get where you're coming from, but I liked her the whole way through and she was less irritating than the Susan character in the TV show.
I'm going to do... let's do collectively. So we'll do two groups. I have to finish on Ian.
Okay.
Okay, so the first group, like, all of the Thals.
Yes. I thought... you.
Oh, no, you go, in comparison.
I thought they felt virtually the same, except lots more makeup.
Lots more makeup.
Like stage production makeup.
Yeah, and I think...
which wasn't bad, but it was
suitable,
just... Yeah.
I think. Because I was like... Because in the show, they just look like, I guess, handsome people.
Yes.
And they're supposed to be like, look at these perfect people. They've mutated so well. Whereas this one, they do look like they could be alien. Like, they're not they're like still humanoid, but they just have a slight, like...
Oddness.
Yeah, they just look a little bit off.
And the thing is, maybe that was the same in the TV show, but it didn't come across in the black and white.
It did not, no.
But yeah, it was very bright makeup. That was the only difference.
The Daleks.
Well, they sounded exactly the same.
They did sound exactly the same.
We do not need their formula. Now that the girl has brought us the drug.
I thought that the colour... I think they looked... Maybe because it was the black and white on the show. But they seemed much flimsier. Like, they seemed a bit like... When they lifted the helmet off one of them, it was like, that doesn't seem to be made out of metal. It just looks like it's made out of cardboard or tin foil or something.
Yes. And in the TV show, when they're trying to do the same thing, they felt like there was a heaviness to it.
Yeah.
Like, it was there was substance to the actual machine.
And maybe they were built lighter so that the... Because they seem to move around better.
Yes.
Maybe they were built lighter so that, you know, they built many more of them. Because there's a whole group of them on the movie set. So, movie set. And with people inside them, you want them to be able to move easily.
Yes.
Okay.
There was two other things about the Daleks, though.
Okay, go.
Based on the design of all the technology and the rooms and the doors around them, they love pink.
They do love pink.
Even pink curtains.
I think there's one scene when Barbara's walking through the city. She's walking down a hallway and there's like art all over the walls, like silver, like, and like fun, different colors, metals all melted together. And I was like, do they care about that? Like, why do they do that?
But why pink as well? Art and pink.
It could be that the city is from, well, like a long time ago during the war, and that when the Daleks, before they were mutated, were just Dalek, like, human-ish.
Right.
Maybe they had the city like that.
Or, yes. Or maybe centuries ago, it belonged to the Thals.
Oh, that's a... Yeah, well, could be.
Either way.
I guess we'll never know in this universe.
The other thing they love are lava lamps.
They do love lava lamps.
And that was... I don't know why, but even I could...
Look at it, move.
I could get past the pink and the art.
Yep.
But the idea that a Dalek literally went, oh, I'm going to place these four lava lamps here on this desk, is just weird to me.
Well, maybe they look, you know...
Maybe they're jealous of how free moving it is. And that's why they respect it. But it's just...
It's just like... It's like four broken ones on the ground because they've just gotten angry and thrown them. They think they're so clever.
But it's almost like... I'm guessing lava lamps were a bigger thing back in the day.
Oh, in the 60s. I'm sure they were.
But not to a Dalek.
No, but to us. But no, look at the movie and go like, oh, they like lava lamps too. I'm going to go out and get a lava lamp.
Okay.
Maybe they had Doctor Who... that's something to look up later. A Doctor Who lava lamp.
Based from the movie.
Okay. Roy Castle's version of Ian.
Well, yeah. I don't know how much it's his fault or the writing.
I think it's the writing.
Yes.
But I don't think he helped at all.
No, because he said, oh, this is great writing. I'm going to put my all into this.
He did put his all into it.
Which is respectable.
He should have asked William Russell for some tips about how to fall over.
Yeah, because he's a master, William Russell.
Yeah, but Roy Castle is not.
Oh, it played a lot. You know how we were frustrated by the Romans being a comedy? It's the same feel with this movie, that type of comedy.
He felt like he was supposed to be the comic relief.
Yeah.
Like a slapstick kind of idiot. And I think the problem with that in this show, in like if you, I think there's a lot of assumed knowledge when you watch this. Like they assume you've seen the TV version, so they can kind of skip through big story moments or like little story moments that build up to big story. They just skip to the action.
Yeah.
And if you watch the show, the whole reason of Ian and Barbara existing at the start is they are our perspective in this crazy world. And in this version, I guess Ian's the one that hasn't seen any of this kind of time travel-y stuff before.
Right.
He's supposed to be our perspective, but he's an idiot.
But it's like Mr. Bean being on the TARDIS.
Yeah. And he's just useless. Like, the whole way through. I mean, he jumps across a cliff once, which he does in the show as well, but just not useful at all. Gets beaten by a door.
You know what I was thinking is there's no way this guy's ever wrestling a Jaguar warrior from the Aztecs. And I know we made fun of Ian in the TV show, but even he's more believable compared to this Ian.
Well, clearly how this ends, and I know there's another movie after this, clearly how this movie ends, they have more adventures.
So there's another movie with these actors?
I don't think they all come back for it.
Okay.
In fact, I'll tell you at the end when we talk about the ending.
Sure.
But they clearly have more adventures, though.
Yeah.
And I think this guy's just going to get killed. I'm surprised he didn't die in this.
Well, he's the one that puts his face first into the swamp water.
And, like, opens his eyes under there.
I don't think Ian did that in the TV show,
did he? No, but he definitely went over to the water and splashed it on himself. Was that Ian? I feel like it was Barbara who did that. Or someone.
Because, I don't feel like Ian and Barbara were both with the Thals.
They were with them.
Both of them?
Both of them.
Okay, then I've completely forgotten.
But they didn't really... It played out a little bit differently.
It didn't seem as silly when it happened in the show.
No, because the show is better.
Well, yes. But what about the awkward moment when Ian's already done that, right?
Yes.
And he's telling them there's something in the water. And then they see the pipes in the water and that's how they're going to get to the city.
Yep.
And then halfway through this conversation, one of the Thals goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll get the water bags and fill up with water now."
The Daleks must get their water from here.
The pipes must go straight through the mountain. Perhaps into the city of the Daleks.
If we could find that
way... After the water bags, we'll need them. I'll catch you up.
Right, come on!
Yeah, because they're like, "Oh, remember, we need someone to die in this scene.
That's right.
Would you mind going back and dying for us?"
So he hears there's a monster. He interrupts a conversation with a very awkward wave. Oh yes, hello, I'm getting water, bye. And then they're surprised he dies.
So those pipes must have been built before the first bomb went off.
That makes more sense.
Because the Daleks wouldn't be able to go out there to build the piping.
No, they're always talking about how they can't leave the city.
Yeah. Let's just go through the whole thing now.
Agreed.
Okay, so from the start, we already spoke about how they're reading books and whatever, and Doctor Who's like...
Well, the intro title screen with credits has some funky music that you never hear in Doctor Who TV show.
Can I just say...
Groovy, baby.
I'm really glad that we live in an era where long title credit sequences don't happen.
Yes.
I was just like...
Or if they happen in a Bond film where it's fancy and stylistic for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not just here's the
or words. It's some kind of like recap of... Like if it's a second movie and there's like a title sequence, there'll be like glimpses of what happened in the first movie. To be right. Like, hey, you missed this. Just...
It's not just the cast.
Yeah. But it was boring. I think I zoned out. But that's good.
But I like how the...
They already lost me. 1 minute in. And I was like...
Forget the technicolor, I'm out of here. But I love the way the Doctor Who TV show... It's like maybe a 15-second intro, the sound of the TARDIS, a little bit of music that's kind of relevant to the style of the show.
Yeah.
This was like a Brady Bunch intro.
It did remind me of the Brady Bunch.
Just like the colours and the music, it just doesn't fit at all.
Now, Ian rocks up.
Yes.
Susan opens the door for him and he falls through it. And I immediately was like, this is bad. He gives Doctor Who chocolates.
Yes.
Which are meant for Barbara. And they have a bit of a back and forth, like...
sensible chuckle.
A sensible chuckle. I just... Some part of me wonders if in the 60s, like, there were people chuckling to that. Maybe. It just felt a little bit bad.
Yeah.
And then he sat on the chocolates.
Oh! He sat on the chocolates, darling. Did you see that?
But he does say something that comes up again later. He's like, they're soft-scented.
Because that's the excuse for why there's a squish when he sits on the box.
Yeah, and the doctor is like, soft-scented.
Oh, soft-scented chocolates.
And then he almost sits on a special part of TARDIS.
Are we going to address that now?
Yeah, can we? Because
yes.
The Doctor Who, who, by the way, I have no problem with up to this point. I'm like, okay, he's an odd man. That's fine. He says, I'll show you TARDIS.
Yes.
And it just every time someone mentioned TARDIS, there's no the at the start.
Yeah.
So they just say TARDIS.
As in, quick, let's go to TARDIS.
Yeah.
As if it's a person.
But if you're talking about a vehicle at all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to go put this in the car. You're like, you're not going to say, I'm just going to put this in car.
No, unless you're in preschool.
Yeah.
You know, Mom, let's go to car now.
It's or like, I'm just going to go for a ride. I'm just going to go grab the bike or my bike. Like, you wouldn't just say bike.
No.
Yeah, it's just...
People say, are you a stroke? Are you okay?
every time they said it, it just annoyed me. Even when they, later on, when they're like, we should get back to TARDIS. It's like, no.
I did find that annoying, and I wonder why no one picked that up in production. Because most people, I assume, who would have gone to see the movie or watched the movie at some point, have seen the show.
That was a deliberate choice.
Okay.
So that's not a production error.
No, I didn't mean that, but I thought someone might have said, let's not do this, it's bad.
No, they decided that. Like, they went, oh, it's called the TARDIS on the show, we'll just call it TARDIS. Same with that, he's normally called the Doctor on the show.
Yeah.
But they leaned into just calling him Doctor Who.
Okay.
And I know he's credited as Doctor Who on the TV show, but they never really... address him as Doctor Who.
No. And why did they make that choice? Was it to separate it from the show?
Yeah. In fact, I'm just going to click on the character of Doctor Who. So apparently, here we go, because I wondered about this. So he is a human. He's a human scientist.
Okay.
Who lives in a cottage in England with his granddaughter Barbara. He also had a niece named Louise. I'm guessing that we're going to get to that at some point. In the next movie, maybe.
Right.
It said his closest friend was Susan, who referred to him as grandfather, but was, according to one account, actually his... I'm just going to scroll a little bit further down. Can I just...
In case you're talking about the TV show now?
It's nothing to do... In fact... I can say whatever I want, because this isn't spoiling the TV show at all. It's a completely different universe. You want to hear what this says?
Yes, but not if you think it might spoil something.
Oh, no, I didn't stop because... I just stopped because I didn't understand. His closest friend was Susan, who referred to him as grandfather, but was, according to one account, actually his great-grandmother.
Okay.
Time travel.
It's so weird because she acts like a granddaughter.
Yeah, but I guess he...
For that to work, he would have had to have gone back in time, stolen his grandmother, and just gone, okay, let's go with this.
Maybe it doesn't have to be a theft. Sorry, a kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
So, hang on. Ready?
Okay, but what if this spoils future movies? I don't want to be spoiled for future
movies. No, you might be spoiled.
I'm just kidding.
Because it actually says... Like, it just doesn't... It's all referencing written stuff. So I'm guessing it's happened in writing.
Okay.
So it says...
But this is not what happens in the show.
No, right? No.
Okay, she's not his grandmother in the show.
No, in fact, within the Doctor Who, like the real Doctor Who universe,
yeah,
this is sometimes referenced as like fiction that's just been made about the Doctor.
I like that. So what we watched is almost like a fictional story within the Doctor Who world.
Yeah.
I like reading it that way.
So Susan was... So it says... One account alleged that Susan was a fictional version of the Doctor's granddaughter, Susan, from, like, real world. According to another account, Susan spent the early stages of her life believing that Doctor Who was her grandfather. As eventually realized by Doctor Who, he was actually her great-grandson due to the fact that Time Lords get younger with each regeneration. There you go. Except it literally says that before that he's human. And it says that her species here is also human. So that must have been some weird fiction thing that turned up. It's called... Oh, here we go. You want to hear the source of that?
Yes.
It's a Doctor Who comic story.
Right, okay.
And it says... it's got a little note here that says, not valid. Not valid is used to in this wiki as a prefix. So this is a TARDIS wiki. In any adventure, in any medium, which is not considered a valid source, but is nevertheless licensed by BBC. Okay. So that happened in a story that doesn't count, apparently.
So it's almost like...
Because none of this counts in the regular universe, but what the wiki is saying is, within this universe that doesn't count, there's something that else within it that also doesn't count.
That's amazing. I like that a lot.
So yeah, actually that takes a little weight off my shoulders, because I can just spoil whatever I want.
That's good,
because there's another movie that we will probably get to.
Yes, but I love the idea of it being a movie within the Doctor Who universe, because I could imagine the first Doctor being like, hey, look at this movie they made about their travels. They tried to make it funny. Oh, look, Barbara, they made you my granddaughter. Like, that's just bizarre.
Ian, you're an idiot.
Ian, they got you perfect.
He literally spent that Doctor Who, the Dalek invasion of Earth, being like, you're such a, like a, you're coming along really well, boy. You're doing a great job. And she's like, ah, you're a bumbling buffoon.
Oh.
Anyway. All right, so they are inside the TARDIS. There's a bit of like a, Ian's a bit like, oh, it's bigger on the inside or whatever. Like, he realizes that, you know...
Like it expands
inside.
But it's also bigger on the outside. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I put that. It is quite a bit bigger.
The doors are like 8 foot tall. But in the show, it's like a normal sized police box.
Can I tell you the other thing I noticed?
Yeah.
How did the doors open? They opened outward.
Oh, yeah.
They never open them outward. They always like push them and walk in.
Yeah, that's true.
Although the sign on the front of the door does say pull to open.
But then they push.
They push in the TV show.
Okay. Maybe they were like, let's differentiate it. Let's make it really big.
I actually think, because there's a moment later where the door is open and Ian walks into it. They're like, we should make them open outward so an idiot can walk into the door.
Yes. Purely for the Mr. Bean comedy.
Now, when they walk in... Here's another comparison.
Yes, I know where you're going.
The TARDIS set
is awful. But I mean, the TV show looks amazing. How do they get it wrong for a movie?
The funny thing is, the design on the TV show was done and we'll watch a documentary when we switch doctors.
Yeah.
It was done, like, on the fly. Like, Verity Lambert went to a set designer and was like, I need a design for this TARDIS now. And he basically just scribbled it right there.
Right. Okay.
So, but it looks, it's so minimalist.
Yeah.
But the TARDIS console is the centerpiece of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, it's like, it does look like, rather than being an alien thing, a human has... Like, with all the wires and...
Yeah.
Like, it makes more sense in this universe, but it also looks awful.
It does. It looks like cardboard.
Yeah.
Like, there's parts of it that literally just look like a piece of cardboard that's not even painted.
I I don't know why they didn't, why they moved away from having the central thing, because there's also nothing that makes sense. Like, because it's all separated and connected by wires all around the set.
Yeah.
You can't see me, but I'm waving my hands around to, like,
indicate the, around the whole outside. It's almost like a shed that's just got lots of cables wrapped around the perimeter of it on the inside.
That if you walked in and you'd suspect someone would look at you with a tinfoil hat on and be like, I've worked it out. It's that kind of place.
It is.
So,
I can't, that really shocked me.
And also the way it moves.
Yeah.
The big button on the ground. And it's like you hold the steering wheel and you push it down onto that button.
Yes.
It just doesn't make sense. I thought that, because I'd heard of this movie a lot. I'd read about it, but I'd never watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it would at least make some more sense, like where things should be.
Yeah, I think it's one of the low points of the movie. Because I think I like the movie, but that's the inside of the TARDIS is terrible.
Also, they take off by accident. So Barbara walks in and she's like, oh, we better, you know, get going. And she, like, I guess goes to kiss Ian or something.
Yeah.
And he leans back on the controls and it takes off by accident. And everyone's like, oh, Ian, like, it's also Barbara's fault.
Yes.
Like, she, like, pushed him onto that.
They're just happy to blame him.
Yeah.
Did you also...
I mean, I'm also happy to blame him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's the Mr. Bean.
He needs a jolly good...
slap along the face. Across the head. There was one other major difference that I felt like at the beginning of the show. The story. Which is that in the original Doctor Who... the TARDIS is a secret and the Doctor is trying to not let Ian and Barbara know about.
Mm.
He's trying to push them away when they're in that warehouse. In the movie, the Doctor's like, come check this out, mate. You'll love it.
Yeah, I've been working on this.
It's just, there's no secret about it.
Yeah, so is this a thing he's building for some other reason?
Well, they made
if he's a human scientist...
Yeah. I thought from the way they spoke, they'd already been on travels.
And I guess they probably have. Because Susan isn't fazed by landing on a new planet. Neither is Barbara.
No.
I mean, Ian is. But I think he would have been fazed if they showed him a Mandarin or something. Like, he just seems overwhelmed by anything.
A tangerine.
A tangerine.
It's like a callback.
He just... Yeah, so I think he also... The other thing that annoys me about him is just going to be like... So they land on a planet.
Yes.
So they land on Skaro in the Petrified Forest like they did in the Daleks, the TV one.
Yep.
The set looks great, I think.
I agree.
Because the camera even pulls out and you see this large forest and the way things snap off it as they lean on each part of it, I think was really well done too.
Yes. The way the city looked.
Yeah.
There's lots of shots in the movie that look really good.
Yeah, obviously, like, film quality at that time.
One of my favourites was when the Thals decide to invade the city and it's nighttime.
And they all come out of the woods.
Yes, that looked amazing.
Yeah.
That was good.
It was good. Which, that happens later.
Yeah, but I just wanted to put it in this.
No, like, yeah, the production looks really good. In fact, there's another moment where they climb to the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And there's this, like, the scenery to the left of them, which looks, it looks really good.
Yeah.
But the problem I have is, so they land, and they all hop out, and the Doctor and Susie are both really... And Doctor Who and Susie.
Yeah, get it right, man.
Are very happy to be there. They're like, oh my gosh, check out this place.
Yes.
Let's find out more about this planet. We're not sure about threats or whatever, or if there's radiation everywhere, but let's go check it out. And Ian wants to leave.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really seem that fazed by what's just happened. Like, yeah. I'm not sure what I wanted from him, but he was just like, all right, here we are. Like, he opened the door and stepped out.
Expecting to be back home.
Yes, and so he was obviously surprised.
But they don't play to it at all.
No, he just kind of rolls with it. Because I guess the other three are like, yeah, we do this all the time. What's wrong with you? So I think that's the other problem with Barbara being another granddaughter, is that he doesn't have someone else to kind of to go through the experience together with.
And chat about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it, so he's like, oh my gosh, we moved. And the other three are like, yeah, we move.
We told you.
So, yeah.
I mean, what? Let's say he... Well, he obviously doesn't believe them at first, that it does what it does. So when he goes into the TARDIS... Sorry, into TARDIS. does he think they're a bunch of nutcases going on some wacky space adventures
in
their brain?
Can I just say, if I... As a more sensible... As a more... Less idiotic person, maybe.
So this was a person.
If I was going to pick up a date,
yeah,
at someone's house, I would be polite to the grandfather, and then they were like, if the grandfather was like, can I show you this invention? I'd be like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
But the moment I walked into that place, I'd be like, oh, this looks good. I just got to go. Yeah. And then I'd be out of there.
Okay, what about... if the date and her sister came in and go, oh, let's all go on an adventure. Press the buttons. Would you feel like I've come out of these nutcases?
What is with all these wires?
Who are you, Dexter? Actually, is this your kill room or something?
That's right. I would probably rant first. What's all this? What's going on?
Yeah.
But no, bolt.
No.
Run in, run.
I suppose in the TV show, you've got the time to go through them wondering what the hell is going on. Yes.
Whereas we don't have that here. They just went, let's get to the... I think they were racing to get to the Daleks.
Yeah.
Because that's why everyone's going to the movies to watch this.
And you're absolutely spot on that the issue is Ian doesn't have anyone to converse about what the hell is going on here.
Yeah.
And that's where all of that comes from. You're right. That's the problem with it.
So they... The same story beats kind of continue. So
pretty much.
The Doctor's like, all right, well, Doctor Who is like, we should... fine, we'll go back because Ian wants to leave. Oh, the fluid link is missing Mercury. We're going to need to go to the city and get some. So they all go to the city.
Yeah.
And I put, at least they still split up.
Yeah. They do the classic split up.
Except that, so Doctor Who and Susie, yes. I'm just going to keep calling her Susie.
Cause that's so grating.
So Doctor Who and Susie leave TARDIS and they go,
oh, yuck. Actually,
I'm so glad that as the fool, as the person who's not a Doctor Who, it's a fool of Doctor Who.
We've watched enough of the show now that even I recognize that's wrong.
So good that you feel that way. So the Doctor Who and Susie, they go in one direction. Barbara goes in another. Ian's on his own. So that's just to explain the situation. The Doctor Who and Susie go one way. Barbara goes through another door, and Ian gets his own door to go through.
Yep.
The other two groups, the pair and Barbara.
Yeah.
They have no problem getting through the door they walk towards the door like it's an automatic door and it opens for them.
Yes.
And for some reason, Ian gets the door where to open it, you need to put your hand on a sensor that is meters from the door and then try and run towards the door to get through it. And it keeps closing before he can get there.
It's comedy though.
But what a poor design flaw for that city.
Was the idea that it's such a special room that you need to have two Daleks, one to hold it down and one to go through?
Are you imagining one Dalek near the door, okay, press it, and then the other one puts his plunger down on the door? Or in this universe, they don't have a plunger. They've got some of them are plungers and some of them have little claw hands.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that too because I don't remember that from the TV show.
No, in the TV show, they're all identical.
Okay.
So they're all blaster and sucker thing.
Yeah. Like a plunger and a gun. Remember our very first episode is titled All You Need is a Plunger and a Gun.
Yeah, well, this movie needs better writing and good actors.
Yeah. For Ian, I thought everyone else... Well, Barb, the actress for Barbara doesn't get a chance to do anything.
I think you should title this episode Everything's Fine Except Ian.
Everything's Fine Except I Agree. But, I mean... Look, I know it's a phrase that's overused now in our podcast, but Barbara is the hero.
Yeah.
Who made this movie and said...
Barbara's the best one even in cinema.
Is she? She's hopeless in this show. She doesn't say or do anything.
She opens one gate. I think it was early on and I was like, oh, she's actually doing... Like, she's walking through places... While Ian's trapped like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But I felt like they made Susan more the hero this time because it's funny that it's the girl, I guess.
Yeah, the great-grandmother.
But I mean, compared to the TV show Barbara, they gave an... It's almost like, oh, you're the woman here. Have five lines and open one gate.
Yeah, that's the girl gets more lines than you because she's a kid.
Yeah. I don't know. It just felt weird to me. Maybe they were trying to redeem Susan after... What she was like in the show.
Yeah.
So bad that the actress said, I'm out of here.
They all get captured.
Of course they do.
Well, Barbara kind of gets captured first. Cause she gets trapped between two doors.
Yep, which is what happens.
Yep, so that's fine. And then the Doctor, Susie... Doctor Who, Susie and Ian come to, like, the main control center of this city.
And they're nowhere near TARDIS.
Nowhere near TARDIS. And then some Daleks turn up.
Yes.
And they're just immediately surrounded. So I think...
By heaps of them.
And that's shot for a movie, I feel. Like, they're like, oh, this is peak. Because it was like Dalek mania. So there's like, everyone loves Daleks at the moment. So they're like, let's just fill this shot up with Daleks. And then the Doctor Who, Susie, Ian, and Barbara... are all held captive in their cell, just like in the show.
Right.
So this is a bit where it kind of fast forwards through a whole heap of stuff again.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you've seen the show, you know that Susie is going to go get more medicine.
Yeah.
You know that she'll come back and we'll make her write a note to the Thals.
Yeah.
You've seen that on the TV. You've also seen them cover the eye stalk of a Dalek and then put it on top of a cape and pull the Doctor Who sends the two women out into the corridor while he and the other man can take out the monster that's inside the Dalek.
Yes.
And Ian gets in the Dalek and then they get trapped and he can't get up an elevator. But then he does.
Yeah.
You've seen all
It's all exactly the same.
Nothing different from the episodes, except for the fact that Ian is still not useful, really.
No.
There are some funnier moments with how the Daleks move, because some of them don't have the plunger. They've got a claw.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a moment where Susie gets... Like, her hands get trapped together by the claw.
Yes.
Near the elevator. That I thought that was quite funny. Because she would have had to have done that for the actor that's in the Dalek, obviously.
To do it. And you can see her manoeuvring herself She's, to where she needs to be.
Trapped me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny. The way that... The only kind of real difference is... I mean, Ian still gets kind of paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the shooting. So the Daleks still have a gun.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fire. Like in the show, it shoots, like it kind of sticks a thing out. And then because it's TV, they kind of do the color inversion thing to show that someone's being shot.
Yeah.
And then they fall to the ground. Whereas in this, it's like each Dalek has a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
And they're just like shooting mist at a person.
Yes.
Like, you know, at high speed, but also like it was a bit weird. But yeah. I guess maybe in the 60s, can you not do like a laser?
I don't know. See, I don't know if it's better or not. I like how they do it in the TV show. But it makes sense that they want it to be more action-y and fun, so you physically see something being shot out of the gun.
Well, Alex, this is where we have a slight bit of trivia. You ready?
Oh.
So, I've directed us to this, just so I can say this. So, the Daleks were, and this is from the wiki, the Daleks were proposed to have flamethrowers.
Okay.
So, that would be dangerous, obviously.
Right.
But this was vetoed. Oh, another thing that we remember. Stuff being vetoed.
Yes.
The effect used for the Daleks weapons on television could not be achieved on film negatives. So they couldn't do the inverted colour thing because I guess it's in Technicolor. So I don't know how that works.
Right.
But the flamethrowers was because of... So here we go, ready? According to Gordon Fleming, who is like one of the producers, we used the fire extinguisher effect because we couldn't afford to add a ray to the film and it wouldn't have been good enough to just have people fall down. We wanted something that could be seen. We were going to have them shooting out flames, but John Traylon, the censor, I don't know what that means, it must be something on a set, thought children would be frightened of the flames, so he went to the other extreme and armed them with fire extinguishers.
The opposite.
So...
Which shows you the difference in production quality, because on the TV show, they're just like, hey, Barbara, here's a wooden gun with an explosive.
Yeah.
Good luck.
But it does also kind of show the cleverness that the show, the TV show, has to use to make up for its... I guess, you know, they don't have as... They're not, like, making a film.
It's not the same budget.
Yeah, the budget's lower. So they do the colour invert. They do the inverted... black and white thing on the screen.
Yeah.
Barbara holds an explosive in her hands. That kind of stuff.
It's cheaper. We can just replace her. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
That's a fun piece of trivia.
I did think that it is slightly different how they cover the Dalek's eye stalk.
Yes.
She doesn't use mud from Susie's boot. Shoes. She just uses some of the food because I guess it's gross.
It's like sludge.
Sludge. Yeah. So it's just another thing, problem I have with. Because, like, why are the Daleks giving them food? Like, how are they producing that food?
Yeah.
Where's that coming from? Because I don't... Do they...
It's right next to the pen and paper.
Yeah. There is quite a funny... In a future episode, there's quite a funny reference to... The Doctor gets trapped in a Dalek thing. And this isn't a spoiler. But he's sitting on a chair. And he's like... You guys have a chair? And they're like, and one of the villains, like one of the Daleks is like, it's the last chair on Skaro.
That's amazing.
Sorry.
I like to go with the theory that centuries ago, that city was run by the Thals.
Yeah.
That would explain chairs and the food.
Well, unlike the thing with Susan, where you kept... trying to figure out who she really is.
Right.
You'll get to see more of that Thal versus Daleks war.
Okay. Which so, is cool, because I want to know more about the history of that. Not in this movie world.
We go all the way back to the start. Yeah, this movie world sucks. Leave it.
Now in Technicolor.
We will come back to this universe. Okay. So all the same story beats...
Mm-hmm.
I think the only difference that really starts to occur... So, a few things. The shots where Susie is running through the forest to take the... To collect the medicine from the TARDIS. From TARDIS. And she's, like, running through brittle branches and stuff. Yeah. All that was good.
Yep.
When all the Thals are having their discussion about... So I feel like this scene plays out a little bit differently than the TV show. The Thals are talking about whether they should trust the Daleks. Well, actually, they get a note from the Daleks that's like, hey, let's be friends.
Yes.
That Susie has written this note.
I don't think the note said that in the TV show. Didn't it just say, we're happy to have peace and give you some food? I don't think it said, let's be friends.
But I think this one says, let's be friends.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's a difference.
And they're like, great, let's all be friends. And they're ecstatic. They're like, there's a lot more hesitation, I think, in the TV show.
Yes.
Or at least discussion between all of the leaders of the Thals. Mm-hmm. There's even that like slightly rude bit where he's like, oh, yeah, like they ask, what do you think? And one of the female Thals is like, I don't know. And he's like, oh, that's, you know, that's a first. Like, she's like, I don't have an opinion. And he's like, that's a first. Like, whereas in this day, they all are on board, except for there's an older one with grey hair.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not so sure we should be doing this.
He's the only one.
He's the only one. And they all go.
They just like, well, we don't care, we're going.
Yeah.
No discussions.
So I feel like that was different.
Yeah.
If we cut back to Doctor Who, Susie, Ian, Barbara, they go up the elevator. They don't push a statue down the elevator this time. They just push a big thing.
It's like a console or something. A
console of some sort, yeah. Down there.
It's the same shot, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, which is not bad. It's just interesting.
And then
how much they decided to change some things, like making Barbara his granddaughter, and yet beat for beat, scene for scene, some things are exactly the same.
Yeah, I think they just changed the story. Like, I think they changed the Barbara in things because they just wanted to get to the Daleks.
That's all it was about.
Yeah, because that first 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes of them, you know, landing, like, it just takes off from the get-go. Like, Ian comes over to their house, and then suddenly they're on this planet, and then they're prisoners. Like, it's...
it's pretty quick.
It's quick.
And you know how quick it is? Is we don't even see them journey to the city in the first time they go.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, we should travel now to the city. It looks interesting.
And they're like, we're at the city.
We're at the city. Let's split up. Immediately.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was a whole journey and discussion.
Yeah. In fact, even later on, so We're about to get to this. So yeah. they look down from where the high point that they're on. They see the Thals entering the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down to warn them that they're walking into an ambush. And the Doctor calls out, Doctor Who calls out, and he's like, it's a trap. And the Thals all run off, except for one who gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next shot is just them all together in the forest.
That's right. Immediately.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, okay, we all escaped.
Even though you see the TARDIS, or sorry, even though you see TARDIS crew,
yeah,
run in a totally different direction to the way the Thals run,
yeah,
they all meet immediately at the stairs right outside the city.
Yeah, and then they all make it to TARDIS and have a discussion in front of it.
Yeah.
And this is where Doctor Who has forgotten that he's lost the fluid link because it's been taken by the Daleks.
Yes.
So they all went inside TARDIS, and they're like, "Oh, time to leave." And then they realize, "Oh, we have to go straight back outside and talk to the Thals about getting into the city." But they do have the repeat of the, oh, there is something you'd fight for.
Yeah, conversation. They do that again.
So,
but that was my question: how do they get all the way back, start the machine, and realize, "Oh, I forgot the fluid link." No, not one of them thought of that.
No. I mean, Doctor Who's not really that intelligent in this, is he? No, he's fine.
Not in this.
But I couldn't... Remind me, in the original TV one...
Yeah.
You know the whole, there is like you're worth fine for scene?
Yes.
I feel like that's constructed by Ian.
Yes, it is absolutely by Ian.
But I guess he's too much of an idiot in the movie to do that. So the Doctor... Doctor Who has to be the one to be like, there is like you'd fight for.
Yes.
Which I think is hilarious because in the show, Ian knows he's going to get clocked, like punched, for saying, we're going to take this girl, I'm going to take her to the Daleks, I'm going to swap him for the thing we need.
Yep.
Whereas in this, Doctor Who sets Ian up to get punched. Like he
doesn't know what's coming.
His plan is to be like, I'm going to fire this guy up so that he hits Ian.
Yeah.
And he just winks at Ian to be like, just go with it.
Set him up to be punched.
Yeah.
But the thing I remember from the TV show is, you're right, it was Ian arguing and trying to convince them to fight for something. And the Doctor saying, stay out of this, we don't meddle with other people's...
Yeah, but his tune, he changes his tune fairly quickly when he realizes they actually need to go to the city.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in the show that
Yeah, no.
In the movie, that doesn't happen at all.
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's all Doctor Who's plan.
And the Doctor in the TV show, he's much earlier on in actual character development, where he doesn't really care about other things apart from exploring at that point.
Absolutely.
He does eventually develop to the point where he's like, we should help people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm just saying there's no character development in this.
Well, I don't think they have time.
No, I want you to just think for a minute of all the characters at the end of the episode. What have they learned since the start of the episode?
The Thals have learned to take things by force, which is great.
Yeah.
TARDIS
crew.
TARDIS crew, do they learn? No, it starts again. Yeah. They take off by mistake. Well, they don't take... Oh, do they?
They take off. They take off deliberately, but they land... We'll get to that.
So, yeah, but you're right. No one learns.
No one learns anything. This is just... It's just 70 minutes of not... Of nothing. It's just... For the viewers, I'm sure seeing it in the cinema, seeing it all in Technicolor, it would look awesome.
Mm.
But in terms of story, it just kind of washes over you.
Do you know what it makes me think of? Is a modern day action movie where things just happen because it's cool. It's not because it's a cool character or story, right?
Yeah.
It's just, hey, we have these actors. You like these actors, don't you? Come and watch them blow things up.
Like Expendables.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's no substance behind it. And that's what this movie feels like. It knows. It doesn't even have to think of what events should they go through. It's just the same events from the story, but no substance underneath it. That being said, I didn't hate it. I'm just saying. It doesn't have the same depth as in the TV show.
So they split up. So Doctor Who stays with the Doctor Who and Susie stay with the Thals to plan their like frontal assault, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian, Barbara. First of all, the Thal, I think, is it Elladan, whoever's in charge, is like, this man's going to lead the team that's going to go around the back and through the swamp. And he puts his hand on Ian.
Yes.
And that is, I feel like, I even said it to you while we're watching it. It's like, so that if he dies, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the Thal leader, he was adamant that he doesn't want his own people to get killed. So I reckon he just went, all right, we've got four people here who have traveled to our planet who could be useful. Which one is the least useful?
Mm.
We'll put him in charge, so if he dies, at least we've still got the other three.
Who's the least useful? Not the child. Not the child. Mr. Bean.
That's absolutely correct. The kid can at least do stuff. So they leave, they go through the swamp, that plays out pretty much beat for beat.
Yep.
Until, Ian does shove his face into the water.
Which, look, maybe that happened in the TV show, but I don't remember that.
I think he just splashes water on himself, and then he sees a creature coming up out of the water.
Right.
But in this, I think his face just looked like he just shoved it into the water. And then...
Don't they know from a TV show? Water bad.
And then this is where the thing that happens that you were talking about earlier. So Ian rushes off to tell Barbara, and there's two Thals that are like... They don't say it in the movie, but in the TV version, they're brothers.
Yes.
And he rushes over to be like, hey, I've just seen something. It was in there. And he gets cut off by a third Thal who's like, I'll fill up the water bags for us. While Ian's trying to explain that there's something dangerous in the water. And then Ian himself, he's like, okay, we'll head in.
Yeah.
You don't want to tell the guy who's going to fill up your water bags in the water?
But he already told them. That conversation was done. And that guy was there. He interrupts them talking about the pipes and how to get to the city.
Yeah.
He's heard all the information and he still goes and no one goes, don't you remember?
Also, this is different from the TV, because at least in the TV show, it's a multi-day trek,
yes.
It seems.
Yes.
Whereas in this, it seems to take place all in one go.
Mm-hmm. A couple of hours, maybe.
Or at least because of the speed at which it's cut together in the movie. It just seems a lot faster.
Yeah.
Do you need Do you need some more water?
That's like, a good point.
There was a few bags there. Did you guys all drink like a litre each? You're probably good for a while.
That's an excellent point. I didn't even think about that. No, but they need the guy to die, Matthew.
I know.
Because that's what happened in the show, right? And we have no brains. So,
like, narratively, we need something to happen now.
Yeah.
They make their way up the mountain. So yeah. In the show, they go straight through the mountain.
And it's through, like, some caves and...
Yeah, and we get to, like, kind of... Well, we don't really get to a cave, we get to, like, a cliff.
Yeah.
But they do go up the mountain. So there's a staircase next to the Dalek's water supply. So that's a design error, it says. Because they could just... Obviously, wherever they'd gone to film this...
Yeah.
Because maybe it was on site somewhere... You could visibly see stairs. Right. Rocky stairs.
But stairs.
But stairs. They didn't have to climb.
Mm.
And so they go all the way up the top. This is where we get a nice shot of the whole landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a reimagining of the guy falling from the cliff.
Yeah.
So they like this episode itself. They get to the point where there's the two cliffs. There's one terrified Thal who wants to go back until... His friend punches him in the face, and the cliff, like the cave, closes in.
He punches him so hard he causes a cave in.
Maybe Thal's in this universe are just super strong.
Possibly.
So one Thal makes it across. I can't remember their names. I think
it doesn't matter.
I think one of them is called Allison or something.
Yeah, he's the first one who first speaks with Susie.
Yeah. And that's Aladdin.
Aladdin, sorry.
But there is another one that was A-L-Y-S-O-N. I saw it on the screen.
Oh.
So there was A-L-Y-D-O-N, Aladdin.
Yes.
And there was A-L-Y-S-O-N, which was like Allison.
That's not confusing. Especially in the movie when there's no subtitles.
Yeah. Well, I don't never say his name. I think it was just in the subtitle.
Oh, okay.
But maybe... No, it must have been because they never put their name on the thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
None of this matters.
File number three.
So Ian jumps across, Barbara jumps across. And can I just point out that the three males all managed to tie themselves up themselves, whereas one of them was always helping Barbara. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Barbara can tie a knot.
Yeah. Although you
a
have...
woman can't tie knots. That kind of felt like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or better get a man to do it because she won't do it properly. Well, it felt like that anyway.
Yeah, because she's getting ready to say one of her five lines, so she can't concentrate on that many things. But also, she's holding the torch, right? It's like a piece of wood with fire on it.
Oh, yeah, I remember this, yes.
And before she jumps, she goes, here, Ian, and just pegs
yeah.
wood with fire at them.
She doesn't say...
Catch this fire.
And there's no time... You know, because if I was like, okay, I'm going to toss this over to you. You ready? Be careful. It's on fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was no time. She was just like, think quick. Just tossed it at him, basically. And he caught it fine. But,
yeah.
Man.
That was hilarious.
That would have been like, I would have been like, I don't need the torch. I can see.
I can see. And also, well, imagine if it's pitch black and you just see the fire coming at you because she's thrown it.
I would just step back from it.
That was one of the most tense moments in the movie for me, was her throwing that.
Okay, and then so she makes it across. Then the terrified Thal. I don't know why they thought this, but the scene in the TV show is Ian throws the rope at the guy and it just hits him in the chest and falls.
Yeah.
And Ian's like, oh, sorry, bad throw. Because he's obviously like, this guy's lost his mind.
Yeah.
Whereas in the show, in the movie, they were like, oh, well, we got to put that in.
Yes.
So he throws in the rope, it just hits him and falls down. But like at that point, what are you going to do? You can't go back.
No, the cave-in's already happened.
The cave-in's happened. So he throws it to him again. And he, like, reluctantly puts it on. And then he doesn't do a run-up, really. He just kind of jumps, which is why he just lands on the edge of the cliff and then falls.
Yeah.
And the scene kind of plays out the same way. They're holding on to Ian, and then the guy cuts himself free.
Yes.
But then is alive. Like, he doesn't fall to his death. He falls.
Yeah.
but he just kind of lands on the ground. And then there's no scene of them saving him, but he's just with them when they get into the city.
You know, I totally missed that, but you're right.
Because they must have chucked the rope down to him. But
you know what they thought? Oh, well, there's no scene of him being saved in the TV show.
So no, because he's dead.
Yes, but we can't put it in, can we? There's no saving scene, so we'll just leave him. But I'll tell you something. The most painful part of that is the important part of that scene is that in the TV show is that that guy on the end of the rope, the Thal, makes a decision to sacrifice himself so that Ian can make it up the cliff and they continue, right?
Yeah.
There's none of that. There's no discussion of him being like, you know, you need to carry on. He just immediately does it and then lands.
And there's more emotion in the show, in the TV show, because the two Thals in that situation are brothers.
Yes.
So there's, you know, there's sadness there.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, he cuts it off and he's like, oh, actually, I'm fine. I will win. You who was terrified to come to this Dalek city, instead of you staying here, we'll go to the real stuff. You come with us.
Yeah.
So they must have saved him and they went into the city.
But that was the whole point of that scene. The reason that scene has any depth is because there's a sacrifice.
Can you remind me? They get into the city. What was their job? They were just going to come from behind.
Who?
Oh. Ian, Barbara. So they get into the city. All this while, Doctor Who has been out in the forest with the Thals.
Yeah.
And he sees a female Thal using a mirror and gets an idea.
Yeah.
So he's like, get me all the mirrors that you have. And so they're coming in it from the front and they're shining their mirrors, which is disrupting the Daleks'
scanners.
And the other team of four is coming from the swamp side into town. But I thought the purpose in the show was that team was infiltrating to do something.
Yeah, they had a specific purpose.
I think it was the doctor had figured out by that point that the floor with the static electricity.
Yes.
So the other team's job was to get rid of that.
To break into the power source.
And I assume that was their job in this. But what instead happens is Doctor Who and the Thals come at the front.
Yeah.
Armed just with mirrors. Yes. I just want to point that out.
Well, they're peaceful people, you see.
And so the moment that the cliff kind of opens up.
Yeah.
And the Daleks come out.
That was a cool shot, though.
It was a cool shot, but all the Thals immediately ran away.
Yeah.
Were they distracting them from the job that the other team had to do?
Well, if that was the point, it was not conveyed.
No. So Doctor Who and Susie are caught.
Again.
There is quite a cool, like, sound effect when they're held in that stasis thing, like, mm-hmm. of, like, if they touch the edges, like, a zap. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Daleks reveal their plan to Doctor Who, which is that they're going to blow up another bomb.
Yeah.
And then they start a countdown.
from where, Matthew?
From 100.
Begin the countdown!
No!
100! 99! 98!
I was waiting for them to be like, 10... But instead it was like 100, 99, 98, and it keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, every time the shot is, they're in that control room with Doctor Who and that.
Yeah.
You just constantly hear the countdown in the background. You're like, it does not have to be this long.
It's almost like done for comedic effect that they just keep flipping back to more numbers.
But you could not operate it without me.
We will find a way. 43, 42, 41, 37, 36.
You did miss one important thing.
Tell me, because I forgot all the important things.
Well, it's not super important, but I just thought it was interesting. the Daleks have their own Nazi party.
Oh yeah, no, I remember that.
They have their own Nazi party kind of speech thing happening, where the guy at the front is like getting them to chant along. I wrote it down: "Destroy the Thals."
Destroy the Thals. We will complete the war, which our ancestors should have won. Destroy the Thals.
But it's very like they have the, I'm pretty sure they have their arms up in the air, almost like a salute.
Yes, it did look like that. Well, the Daleks are like originally, they kind of have that mentality that is like, you know, that they are pure and everything else needs to be killed.
Right.
So they have that very Nazi-istic kind of thing.
But I don't remember that scene in the TV show.
It's not in the TV show. But I think by this point they were like, let's... Also, in the TV show, they only had four Daleks.
That's
four
true.
Actual Daleks.
For that story arc.
For that story arc. Mm. Whereas in this movie, they definitely had more. Well, they had four and two inflatable ones in the TV show.
Which is amazing. Inflatable Dalek.
Also notice that the lights flashing on their head. Sometimes they flash when they talked, and sometimes they were just flashing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, Ian and the Thals all go in to save the Doctor and Susie.
Doctor Who
and Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a big... They've infiltrated the city to get to them. And there's a few times where, like, Ian and another Thal get too dark to just point their guns at each other and shoot.
Great shot. I mean, interesting shot. I mean, shot.
I just mean, like...
I know it was stupid, but it looked cool for the movie.
I mean, it does, but also, if you're those two Daleks...
Just like, don't use
just
your
gun. Just don't shoot.
But it's because trailer bait. That's what that was.
Also happens a few other times. I'll tell you what, there is one really cool shot. So when Ian and Barbara and the two Thals that are with them are... infiltrating the city.
Yeah.
They are met, but with other Thals that have decided out in the forest that they will fight.
Yeah.
Rather than walk up to the front door and then walk away, they will actually go in and fight. Mm. They put a rope around a Dalek and yank it back.
Yes.
And it gets smashed into a wall and falls down the elevator shaft.
That was great.
Which I thought was an amazing shot.
Yeah.
And then there's another shot when they storm the control room, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the Daleks and the Thals are like... The Daleks are all shooting their fire extinguishers. And the Thals are all running about, unarmed, really. And two of them shove a Dalek straight into a wall. And it just crumples.
Yeah.
Which, again, is another thing that makes me go, oh, these don't look that tough, really.
Yep, yep.
And there's still another point where one of them grabs the gun and then gets it to shoot at another Dalek. And then Doctor Who and Susie, they're still trapped in their prison thing.
Yep.
They shout to Ian and say, the timer, because it's at like, it's like got 10 seconds to go or whatever.
It finally got into 10 seconds.
And he's like... Daleks, like he just like basically waves his hands at them and they all turn to him and then he gets down and they all shoot the control thing
panel. Yeah, yeah.
Which knocks out all of their power, so they all presumably die.
Yeah.
And it stops their bomb.
Yeah.
And Ian looks at the count and he's like, 3, that's my lucky number.
That's my lucky number.
Do you know what I thought, though? They don't turn the countdown off. So the moment someone puts the power back on, there's 3 seconds to go and that bomb's going off.
They should probably disable that. Take the bomb out or something. I was just like, oh, this is good.
Imagine if the Thals just go, oh, they've got power. Press this. 3, 2, boom.
It all wraps up very quickly.
Yeah.
They each get given a cape.
Yeah.
They say goodbye numerous times, and then they get in the box, and they're like, all right, let's... Doctor Who sets the controls up to be like, we're going to go home. And then Ian pushes the thing.
Yeah.
And then the Doctor's like, go open the doors. And then what happens, Alex?
They open the screens up. And Ian gets scared because it looks like there's Romans running at them. But we can see they've just landed inside a movie theater. We're watching them on a screen. But there's Romans chasing at them. And he's like, oh, close the door. And then he does his Mr. Bean slapstick comedy running around.
He's like, what are you doing?
It's just like,
what are we going to do? And then it ends. It just ends. Yeah,
it just ended.
Yep.
Which I guess is what you mean by it setting itself up for future things.
Yeah, except... I am absolutely certain that...
They didn't have that in mind?
No.
Okay.
So they did have in mind to do a trilogy. So okay. They're going to do 3 movies. This and plus 2 more. Sorry.
So 3, which is Ian's lucky number.
That's my lucky number.
But they just do 1 more. They okay. do adapt the Dalek Invasion of Earth.
So it's like a Dalek trilogy.
Yeah. So, that one...
I mean, if you're doing number 1 and 2 about the Daleks, you can't have the 3rd one about something else that no one cares about.
Back when I wasn't... Like, when I was started watching some classic Doctor Who, I actually watched the first, I think, 15 minutes of the next one.
And just said
no. Oh, no, I had to stop.
Really?
Well, I watched it mainly because there's an actor in it who becomes a companion to a doctor in the... In the modern era.
Okay.
But it's interesting that he plays a different character in the movie.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. Bernard Cribbins. He's a great actor.
But you couldn't get through the movie?
But, because it starts this... It's just the same start, really.
As the Invasion of Earth?
Like, as this one.
Oh.
It's like, oh, this random human's now in my time machine. Oh, he's set off the thing. We've landed on another planet. Or we've landed in the future.
So it's not Ian again?
No.
Okay. Well, don't say any more. But
I don't think it's Ian.
We do have to watch it when we get to that point. I'm sorry.
Because I don't think this actor came back for the next one. I think he was like, no, I'm good, thanks.
I'm not playing this version of Mr. Bean anymore.
I don't even think the actress who plays...
Barbara.
Let me check. Remember, no, doesn't. It's not going to spoil it.
Fair enough.
It also doesn't matter. If it does, okay? So... In the next... Where's the cast? So in the next one... Where's the returning cast? So Doctor Who comes back. Susie comes back.
As in Peter Cushing comes back?
Peter Cushing. Okay. Roberta Tovey comes back as Susan.
Oh, right.
I guess if you're a child actress, you just keep taking jobs, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Louise... the companions are Louise and Tom.
Okay, and are they from the show? Or are they randoms?
They are randoms. So Louise is the niece of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Because I'm guessing the actress who played Barbara didn't come back. And Tom...
I thought you just said Barbara came back.
No, Susan comes back.
Oh, sorry, Susan.
Tom Campbell...
is her boyfriend.
Is a police officer who mistakes it for a genuine police box.
Oh, no.
And runs into it.
Oh, no. Even though it's like... 8 feet tall. Maybe it's different in the next movie.
He accompanied Doctor Who, his granddaughter Susan, and his niece Louise to London in 2150. So here's what you can have again. 3 people who have all done this before and 1 idiot.
Yep. And the Daleks again.
I mean, he's a police officer, so maybe he's got a bit more smarts, but...
We'll see.
We'll see.
There was
it one... has also put here, not valid. It's said to be like, it's not canon.
No, I just love the way they write it, though. How it's just like, don't bother. It's not valid. There's one final thing I want to say about the movie.
Yep.
About what actually happens, I mean, the events of the movie. When they're given the gifts of the cape at the end from the Thals.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, they don't think to give anything back. Because, you know...
They don't have anything. In that
box. Oh, you know, you're right. It's just a box of wires.
It's just a box of wires. I don't think I saw any other doorways. Because at least in the TV show TARDIS, there's doors that lead to deeper into the TARDIS, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, it just...
It's shed.
It's just a shed.
The other thing was, Susan immediately insults the gift. So if you remember, they're given the capes, they're walking back, they say goodbye 1,000 times, and then Ian puts the cape on to like pose and have fun, and Susan goes, wow, that's going to look awful back in London. And she's 0.5 meter away from a group of thals.
To be fair, it's a plastic cape.
Yeah, but they've just said, here's this gift.
They're about to take off.
Okay, whatever. And I lied, one final thing.
Yep.
You know the scene where they're getting ready to... They're trapped in the room and they're getting ready to attack the Dalek?
Yep.
Put the stuff over the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Put the cape underneath, blah, blah, blah. Remember the scene when they're all looking at each other to see if they're all ready? And it goes on
for way too long. I was like, you are willing to skip through so many things, and yet you need this scene of the Doctor Who being like, if they're on time, they'll be here any second.
Yeah.
And then he looks at Susie. Susie looks at Ian. Ian looks at Barbara. Barbara looks at Doctor Who. Doctor Who looks back at Ian. It's like,
that's how you build tension.
It's just so much.
But in our video, I'm just going to have it loop, so it looks like it's going on forever. Because that's what it felt like.
One other thing. While yes. I think of it.
Do it.
Thals can't wave.
Oh, yes.
He does. So there's a moment where Susie is about to get inside the TARDIS box the first time. The first time, and she waves like a normal person.
Yeah.
And he does a weird way where he holds his hand sideways and waves like that.
Yeah.
Almost like you can do like a karate chop, but like that.
Yeah. Which I get.
Well done, everyone.
It makes sense because they don't know how to communicate, but all they have to do is copy her.
It's hard though.
Anyway.
Okay, so to rate this.
Any other interesting trivia, or have we kind of gone through it as we went?
Well, it was really just made. So the people who bought the rights, they literally bought it because of Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
So they were hoping to make all their money out of it. And to be honest, they actually did very well. Critical response. So Halliwell's Film Guide, which I'm guessing, I don't know if that's a little thing, but maybe it is, described the film as limply put together and only for indulgent children.
Ooh.
Many people would like to see the Doctor Who television series back. Few mourn the long gone films. So that's a more recent critical response.
Okay.
Radio Times was more favourable, awarding the film 3 stars out of 5, stating, "This spin-off lacks the bite and inventiveness that set the landmark series apart. Unwisely injecting humour into the sparse scenario and the cheap art direction is strictly 101 uses for pink plastic sheeting."
Which we mentioned.
However, despite the many faults, it's still a fun ride for both the uninitiated and diehard fans alike.
Because I did wonder.
Cushing does his best, but he's not exactly given a lot to work with.
Which is fair. Yeah. He does walk, you know, when you think about what he had to work with. But I did wonder, someone who had never seen the show, what would they think after watching the movie? Because there must have been some.
I don't think they would. Like, it wouldn't make me want to watch the show. I just feel like it.
It's the worst way to be introduced to that story. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway.
You know, the other thing too, yep. I just realized, one of the most important parts of that story arc is the fact that, and you were excited for this, it's the first time the Doctor and the Daleks have a conversation about the value of life and philosophies for how to live.
Yeah, and they don't know each other yet, and it's supposed to be the start of this, like, ongoing thing. Well, at the time, that's not... They didn't know the Daleks would be a big hit, but in retrospect, it's like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
This is their first meeting.
And it's... They talk about important things with depth. It doesn't happen at all in the movie.
No. Okay, you ready to rate it? Now, because we're in a different universe, we have to rate out of one Doctor Who.
Oh.
I'll tell you what.
Well, there's a 1 or there's a 0. So, if that is...
Actually, yeah, do that.
Oh.
I'll give you a 0.5 option.
All right, yeah, well, it's a 0.5 then if I have to pick between 0 and 1.
It's half a Doctor.
It is half a Doctor. It's perfect because it's half of what made the first Doctor good.
Okay, no, I'll tell you, I've got a better rating.
Okay.
You ready?
Go.
So, 1 to 4, where 1 is Ian from this movie, 2 is Barbara,
Okay.
3 is Susie, and 4 is Doctor Who.
All right. I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
Because it wasn't horrible.
No.
And it had some fun moments and great shots, but it's the worst way to see this storyline.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing in the show.
I'm going to go a 2 as well. I think it's fun.
Hmm.
It only probably really makes sense if you've seen that story on TV already, because it is kind of just done very quickly.
Yeah.
But I think it's still got interesting things. It is kind of like what I said at the start. It's kind of like interesting to see, because this is a different writer. They obviously took Terry Nation's like story.
I am not surprised this was not written by Terry Nation.
And they obviously took his story and went, let's do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see it kind of like done like a bit differently. But it's nowhere near as good, which makes you think like the production budget of the TV show, when that was their second story, versus a big budget film.
Yeah.
And the TV show did it better.
It did.
And that's all I have to say. This has been fun though.
Yeah, it was. It was really fun. I'm glad that we did it as our final episode for this year.
So, yes, so when you listen to us next week, it'll be the start of New Year. We're going to try and watch part of The Crusade.
Because that's the next storyline.
That's the next storyline. But it's not complete.
We're going to try and find... Didn't you say you have a DVD?
I can find it. I did have it, but I returned it.
I will try and find it on Daily Motion again. You know that great old
website? Yeah, true. The Crusade, Doctor Who.
I will.
All right.
We're back to regular Doctor Who after this episode.
Yes. How do people keep up to date with what we're doing, Alex?
We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. We're at thefanthefool@gmail.com if you'd like to give us your thoughts on Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yep. We're on, in terms of podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on SoundCloud. We're on like a million other things. And you can find all these other things on a link tree.
Yes.
The link of which is where?
linktr.ee/thefanofthefool.
It's also in the episode description.
On every social media thing, and on YouTube and everything.
But have a good New Year, everyone.
Yes, thank you for listening.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse
the polarity.
Reverse
the polarity.
It's reversed!